For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer, joining me, Ed Jordanic. And for the next 20 minutes, we're going to try and figure out how what happened Saturday night happened, if there's any way to explain it. Ed, I know you were at the game, so I'm kind of interested. I mean, just why don't you give us your take, at least on the atmosphere and everything. I obviously was pretty intense, but anything that really stands out?
It is a pretty good place to see a college football game. I mean, this tailgating is spread out all over the place, and the stadium itself is pretty impressive. They pipe in a lot of noise. The Michigan fans weren't really that hostile at all. I mean, I don't think that they thought that they were going to win. I don't think they thought that they were going to win until the last 2 seconds of the game. It didn't really get that loud in there until the end. So, you know, Notre Dame did an effective job at the beginning, what we talked about last week of taking control of the game and getting the crowd. I mean, you know, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I'm still numb from what I saw. I mean, walking out of there and walking out of the car and driving home was long, you know, and awful and depressing. And, you know, that's for people who didn't even come close to the field, you know. It was just it was pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of games. You know, there's a couple things I did want to bring up. Let's do this and try and – because I think that, you know, obviously everybody's looking at this like, you got to be kidding me. And so – but it's hard to take a step back and try and analyze what's really going on. There are a couple things that do have me concerned because I think they're bigger indications of a bigger problem that exists. And the two for me would be the following. Number one, you cannot have a guy back there returning punts who waves a fair catch with 15 yards in front of him and nobody around him.
Hey, we didn't drop any.
I mean nobody. We didn't drop any, but his very first punt return, I don't know if you saw that, he practically picked it off the guy's shoulder. But, you know, you made a point before the game that, hey, maybe switch in Theo Riddick and John Goodman, depending upon the situation. Well, that situation right there was the perfect example. You had 15 yards of nothing but green in front of your guy returning punts, and we fair catch it. You can't win football. You can't win championships, number one, doing that. But number two, you can't win football games if you're doing that. You can't give up, just simple
and, you know,
execution like that.
Right, and you know what stuff like that says to me, Mike, and I think this is what you're getting at, is that's one of those little telltale signs that the mental makeup of this team is still kind of shaky, right? Because if you're really confident, if you really think you're going to get it done, you're not thinking worst case scenario, just catch the ball, you know, and you know, in other words, the baseline for the punt return right now is not to commit a turnover. So on that first punt, Goodman's first return, he had a close call the first one. I can't – which one was first? Was the first one the one where he picked it off the guy's shoulder?
The first one was where he –
was a close call. And then, of course, the second one, all he was thinking about was, like, not to make a mistake. And that's what you do when you're in pressure situations, when you're just not quite right, and these guys just aren't quite right, and all their protestations to the contrary, they're going to circle the wagons. They think they're a good team. All that stuff. I mean, I believe all that stuff, but I still think that the baggage of losing over the course of all of these guys on this roster's career, except for the freshmen, that takes a while to wash away and get out of the system. And it sounds like Brian Kelly's got a plan to do that, but it obviously is a very painful process to go through because it shows up in a lot of different ways.
It's taken longer. Right, it's taken longer than we thought. And the second thing, and I you know, some people don't agree with me on this one, but I really think that the timeouts that we're taking are ridiculous.
I know.
You cannot be taking timeouts regularly.
If I were in charge, timeouts in the first and third quarter with, you know, are not worth 5 yards. You just do not. I would just never call a timeout in the first or third quarter, and when the penalty was going to be a delay of game. You know, I mean, if there's something else going, or maybe there's a situation that calls for it, but I just don't think that anything is worth 5 yards in the first and third quarter. And this, you're right. I mean, some of this stuff is just, you know, I mean, they still. Now, maybe part of the game plan was taking that play clock all the way down to a second or two, you know, to keep Denard Robinson off the field. I mean, I can respect that. And over the course of the game, you're going to have several situations where you're not going to quite get it in time. But we still have issues with that. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, and it's more than just that. I think that could have been very well what they were trying, but the fact is you still have to execute. You can't be calling
And you also have to have a quarterback
to say,
who can you know, look at the clock and say, okay, screw it. You know, I know what we're going to do. You know, in other words, that you just have to go ahead.
Yeah,
what do you think about
run.
These third and ones? Like, you know, why wouldn't you at least on some of the critical ones, you've got a package or you've got something where it's just an automatic. Chris comes into the game and sneaks it. I mean, you've got a 6'4", 230-pound quarterback on the sidelines. You need a half a yard, and you know we're making deep handoffs in the backfield. I understand, you know, there's a whole explanation yesterday. One of them should have been checked down. One of them, everybody was in the box. One of them, this or that. But I just think, you know, you go empty backfield, put Kristen there, keep Reese in the game and split him out. You've got the defense wondering what the hell's going on. And you're going to get a half a yard with your biggest, strongest guy, just pushing forward behind Brad.
Yeah, and I think that's another. I guess that just is a third one that I didn't think about. But yeah, just the whole situation on third and one. You know, I hate to admit this point, but we don't take the approach of all right. You know,
right.
This is a winner's mentality on third and one. And the flip side of that is, I think Michigan did at the end of the game. I mean, they took a winner's mentality and said, "Look, you haven't stopped us all game. When we throw it up, we're just going to do it again." And, you know, and that took some guts.
They knew where to throw it.
Play,
they just looked around
to
find out where number four was on the field, and they just threw a duck
in
his
direction.
Yeah,
that's right. And they did it. Yep, and it was a duck. And, you know, I think that some people would sit here and listen to this show and say, you guys are just whining. But if anybody watched the College Game Day crew at the end with Herb Street and Fowler talking, I mean, they were flat out admitting, look, you know, let's be real here. Michigan,
they're not a good football
yet.
Team.
They threw some ducks up. They just got luckier than all get out to have that pass over the middle where Harrison Smith just completely mistimed it. I mean, if he just even has a decent jump at it, he picks it off. And, you know, and the majority of Denard Robinson's throws were that. You know, he threw into triple coverage.
He had
we
11
get picked
completions.
Off, but yet. I don't think he'll throw for more than. Yeah, he won't throw for over 200 yards
guaranteed. The point is that it was just this kind of complete abandonment of kind of it seemed like almost any kind of like you said kind of like any toughness and any sense. I'm like, okay, now we're going to go out and win the football game, you know. And I don't know if it was like they just didn't stick to their disciplines or there's something saying okay, just you know. But this kind of play not to lose situation. I mean, I don't know. You know, when you're covering kind of like a prevent thing like that at the end, you're kind of sticking in a zone. You're not following guys across the field, leaving wide spaces open.
Right, that's exactly right. Everybody's got a third of the field, and whoever that guy was on the left didn't stay with his third. He literally crossed over the field. I mean, that just made no sense. You know, and it is this whole play not to lose mentality, and that is what's got to change. I mean, if you really just want to hit it right on
the
head,
and it's not just the fourth quarter. I mean, you know, they were up 14-0, and they had a couple chances to just.
That interception was huge. They did nothing with it. They picked that off and then turn around and did nothing. Now, the one thing that did surprise me was because we had a timeout in between that, and I thought to myself, man, come right back and go over the top right now. Just do it right now. Take a chance.
I thought it took them too long to try and get Eifert involved. You know, they you know, the one of Reese's picks was really pretty bad. So, you know.
Yeah, and the other bad thing that I saw, and I don't, you know, it'd be interesting to see what you saw when you were there, because you can see the whole entire field. But two huge occasions where Reese was even looking to that side of the field, and it's so obvious he is not checking off on his receivers at all. He was so zero. Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, he did have a couple those nights, but he also had a couple where he really made his progressions and, you know. Yeah.
No, he did. He had some great calls. Don't get me wrong. He checked off to some great runs. He saw the right thing. That's a real good sign. However, when you're playing quarterback in Division I football, you have got to be able to step back into the pocket, and as you're stepping back, at least take peeks of your defenders. You got to at least take peeks. Just
well, I think
from
what's so incredible is we're having this conversation, with a different result the last 2 weeks, they'd be kind of nitpicks, you know, because overall the body of work in terms of the play, certainly between the 20s, kind of and overall, you know, is pretty solid. I mean, I think we'd be fairly pleased with the play, offense, defense, maybe not special teams, but overall, you know, things would be looking pretty good right now with different results. We'd be singing it, but these little things are so magnified because of the turnovers, because you have to be so perfect to win the football game when you're turning it over at the rate that we have. And, you know, you can't win with those mistakes, especially when you're, you know, listen, Michigan's got a long way to go, but Denard Robinson is a dynamic football player, and he's proven time and time again that he can put a team on his shoulders and kind of, you know, he's just one of those kind of, we love those college football players. You know, some of these guys, you know, through the years who they just, you know, the Doug Flutie's, you know, and all this kind of stuff, they just kind of figure out a way to get their team in a position to win. And if you keep giving them breath, if you keep giving them life, you're just asking for trouble. And we did it again, and it just killed us.
Yeah,
you gotta sweep the leg. You know, when you've got to.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. These guys had plenty of ops, and we just didn't get it done. And I think that's in a nutshell what it is with this team right now. Now, I think the hardest thing in all of this is we're 0-2
at the end of the game. They were hardly on the field. I mean, we had a quarter more. We had
no,
a quarter
I agree.
More possession.
Yeah, it couldn't have been.
You know,
that.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it couldn't have been that. No. No, it's just it is. It's just it's a mentality that exists that has got to get plugged. I mean, that hole's got to get plugged and plugged right now. You know, the hard thing about this, us being 0-2, this clearly is a better football team than we've had in the last 4 years at Notre Dame, and they're 0-2, and their execution is way better. I mean, we're not sitting here thinking and arguing about, you know, the things that we can't do offensively.
There's balance.
You know, these there's balance there. There are guys that are making plays. There are guys that are
Tommy
executing.
Tommy Reese got sacked Saturday.
I mean,
did he? I don't remember. I don't think there was a sack. Yeah.
I don't remember a sack. Yeah, I don't either. And you know, the fact of the matter is, you put 500 yards of offense back to back. That's not an easy thing to do, and turn the ball over like we did. You know, the other thing though is that, I mean, my God, Notre Dame just does not catch a break ever. They don't catch any breaks whatsoever, where something like fumbling on your own 1 yard line.
We all thought, you know, we were in that end zone, kind of, you know, 89 rows up. We thought it was like some fumble Ruski play, you know, because from where we were, we thought, I mean, and the way Robinson just picked up the ball and walked in, we had no idea, you know, until of course a few minutes later, what happened, because it looked so perfect and he just walked right in the end zone. We thought it was like the fullback kind of got the ball, or it was the best play fake in the history of college football.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. I mean, 3rd and 1, even if he doesn't fumble, it's 4th and 1. You're kicking the field goal.
Well, remember those kids, you know, when you're playing football in the backyard and you know you're going to get stopped and you just kind of like fumble it, hoping somebody can pick it up and take it in? I mean, that's kind of what the play was, because the guy was stone cold stopped. And, you know, I guess maybe, I mean, I don't know, somebody told me Harrison Smith, you know, jarred loose or whatever, was a good hit or whatever. But it seemed like one of those plays where, you know, it was like out of desperation he was fumbling it because he knew he had no chance of getting in the end zone. And it worked out perfectly for them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, and then the video call where they gave him the touchdown. If they don't give him the touchdown there, I don't know that Michigan scores. I really don't. I mean, I think with that short of a field, they're at the 1 yard line. I don't have any confidence in those guys scoring against us without some sort of trick play. And, you know, I don't. So you look at stuff like that, these bounces.
Well, here's
don't
a little
go
thing
our
that,
way.
That, and it, you know, I talked to Pete Sampson last night that he pointed out, which I thought was a brilliant observation. You know, Notre Dame, as fans, we have been aching for a guy who could kick the ball into the end zone off the kickoffs for years, and we haven't had one, right? So So last night at the end of the, or Saturday night at the end of the game, Brinza, with 30 seconds left, drills it into out of the end zone, right? And they get the ball at the 20. So we finally have what we want. Well, the fact is that if he would have had one of his kickoffs like he's had for every other kickoff this year and it lands at the 5, they've got to return it. Probably another seven seconds go off the clock. And even if they have the plays that they have, they're going to have to kick a field goal. They're not going to have a chance for a throw into the end zone. And so it's crazy little stuff like that was...
But again, Ed, that's winner's mentality. Winner's mentality says, "Oh my God, don't let them return it because they're going to return it for
a touchdown."
You're right.
And you know, maybe he just caught that one. Maybe Kelly and Elston never even thought. I mean, he had not kicked one out of the end zone this year, right? He kicked really, really.
He hadn't, and he had been
consistently
inside the five.
Exactly, and you know, maybe he was just pumped up, and they're just like, "Oh my God, I can't believe he just did that." Because they thought, you know, he's just going to do his regular kickoff. It's going to be sky high, and we're going to hold him inside the 30, and we're also going to, you know, they're going to get the ball with only about 23, 24 seconds left.
Yeah. Well, the you know, the last point that I wanted to make, and I know we talked about this before the game, but God Almighty, a 25-yard punt at the worst possible time in the game. And this is consistent. This isn't just like one of those things. I
and
mean,
then
come
he
on now.
The coverage by so far and gives up a 35-yard return, you know, on the one that he finally does catch. Remember, you know,
Yeah, and it's I find it so hard to believe. I can't imagine Brian Kelly isn't right now going after some punter somewhere, because this is just ridiculous. I mean, this is out of control. And you know, again, this is you're not going to win football team games doing this. This is just crazy. Yeah, I can't imagine we can't put John Goodman there or somebody who's done it in high school,
you know,
and they're going to do a better job.
Asking, you know, about Brinza, and is he that far behind, you know, punting wise in practice? I mean, I can't believe he's that much worse. He's obviously got a leg and a half, so you know. But these again, you know, these little things are so magnified because we give ourselves so little margin for error because of these turnovers. Every single, you know, we these scoring opportunities that we have, these chances to kind of put these games out of reach or to take control of these games, are just squandered, and that is just, and that just ratchets up the pressure. I think it just ratchets up the mental burden that we carry, and you get into these, you know, last 5, 10, 15 minutes of these games. And I just think it, you know, there's an effect there. And maybe they're playing loose in those last 5-10 minutes, but I thought that the defense especially looked incredibly tight in the last 10 minutes. I mean, they were just waiting for Robinson to torch him, and and you just can't play like that.
Yeah, I thought so too. That's exactly what's going on. And you know, it's frustrating. It's hard to sit here and watch all this, but yet, you know, as crazy it may sound, I still believe in this team for some reason. I think there's just it's a unbelievable set of monumental mistakes that we've made these first two games. But you know, going into these next two games, the season can turn right around for them, and there's plenty there to suggest.
But I think,
you gotta
Michigan State is a quality opponent, right? But I don't know if Notre Dame will be favored, but you know, they're not dramatically better than Notre Dame by a long shot. It's probably even or whatever. But you got to go out and beat it. You know, if you kind of like repair your season. I mean, Purdue is, you know, awful. You know, Pitt struggled with Maine. You know, like if you really want to like kind of get over a mental hurdle, you got to go out and win Saturday. You got to go out and find a way to beat Michigan State.
Yeah, you absolutely. Yeah,
they're in your home stadium, for goodness sakes.
No doubt. Right. Now the fans are going to be subject. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But if the fans can get behind this football team, they put a win on the board against Michigan State. They could get to USC without another loss.
They should, Mike. They should.
They should. Yeah, they absolutely. I know. I'm just saying that you're going to get to USC. Then you beat USC at home. Okay, in a piped up atmosphere, and then you could get all the way to Stanford.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so theoretically possible you get all the way to Stanford. You may end up losing to Stanford, and for me, that's a 9-3 football season.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that at all. It's a 9-3 that could have been 11-1.
You got to walk before you can run, though. I mean, they got to. Yeah,
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that how they finish this year is going to be just incredibly important, and what goes on. And but I still think it. I've watched both these football games. We did it to ourselves. We were the better football team in both of these cases. I think everybody watching it knows it. And, you know, it is what it is.
They shouldn't have any. Hey, I'll tell you one thing. They shouldn't have any trouble hanging on to these high profile cornerback and safety recruits. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no kidding. I feel bad for Gary Gray because I think he's a good kid. He's played well. Robert Blanton, to me, is the guy that is the unsung hero here. I mean, I think he's a great back, and he's done
Maybe Gary Gray's hurt. You know, I don't know. Yeah, but we haven't seen what Lo Wood can do. We don't even know if the coaches don't have any confidence in him, or, you know, if he's just he's not even in there in nickel situations. Mata is out there, and so I don't know what the thing is, but you've got to start rotating some of these guys through and see what they can do, because the ball skills were just terrible on Saturday.
Yeah, it was, and unfortunately for us, that's, God, I don't know what's going on, but that's been the
case. And that's Chuck Martin's, you know, that's supposedly our best assistant coach, or, you know, one of, right? That's his, that's his little neck of the woods.
If we turn on any one of those balls, we probably pick it off. If we just turn on any of them, we probably
you know I'll
off.
Even give him. But, listen, you know, Denard made a great play on the one where we had him around the ankles and he threw a rope and hit that guy.
That was the one good play.
The rest were ducks.
Other than that, the rest of them were just ducks. I mean, just absolute ducks. Embarrassing. And that's the more frustrating thing about all this is that it's just, you know, simple stuff, simple execution, and we walk away from that game. But, you know, it is what it is, and so here we are. But I'm not here saying there's a lot to be positive about. There's a lot of positives.
But it's a bottom line business, so you can.
It is, but there's light here. There's light here, fellas, and I think that if they turn this around, they're going to be a doggone good football team at the end of the year. I wouldn't want any part of them if they do get good. If Notre Dame gets good, look out, because they're going to be a team that can be.
There's still a lot that they can do, and they could still, you know, they could certainly still go to a BCS game. They're going to get a benefit of the doubt if they finish the season strong. Right, you know, if they finish with wins and have their messes up, you know, front loaded, they'll be just fine. So, yeah,
absolutely, yeah. There's a lot still here. I just hope they get a turn. I think they will. I really do. I think that this is just one of those things that's ugly. You hate going through it, but I think at the end of the year, this football team is going to be a heck of a football team.
Well, thanks for making me feel better, Mike, because I was a zombie till about, you know, 7 o'clock this morning.
It's not been good, let me just say that. All right, we'll leave it there. Till next time, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. We'll see you next time.